Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
What I want.
Do the Broncos have a secret weapon in 2024 that can kickstart their offense in a way that no one's talking about? And when I say no one's talking about it, I haven't heard anyone talk about it. All right. And not saying it hasn't been mentioned, but I certainly haven't heard it. Phil, the NFL made a rules change this week that fundamentally changes the kickoff rules. Right. We talked about it leading up to the change.
Yeah.
You're uniquely qualified to talk about it because the experimental mice that the NFL used in this fundamental change was the XFL.
Mm.
And once upon a time, not only were you in the XFL, you were the return man.
I was in the gunner. You know, I was a superstar there. And it was whooping my little butt. I'm like, yeah, it's time for me to retire.
How was the XFL experience? You know what? We haven't really spent a lot of time talking about that.
You know what, Zach? It was a good experience. Now, you're not going to make a lot of money, right? You're not going to make this NFL money.
Yeah.
But you get to play some good football, and there's a lot of players in there that have been in the NFL.
Of course, right.
A lot of them that end up going back to the NFL, right, for camps, find a way on the team. So it's really, really good football. And honestly, it's more authentic because you have players out there really trying to make it. These players that have opportunity to be on TV, to have one of these NFL scouts look at him and be like, hey, he's ready to play. He's ready to play right now. We don't have to wait for him to kind of get ready. He's been playing the whole season. He could come in and help us right away. So it was fun, man. It was fun.
Was Josh Gordon, the former wide receiver, your teammate?
He was. It was Josh Gordon, Ben DiNucci, who's over here at with the Denver Broncos. He was out there dicing people up. We had a bunch of NFL players on our team, and we ended up losing to A.J. McCarron. Well, no, we beat A.J. McCarron.
Okay, former Alabama quarterback, right? Yep.
And he actually was with the Bengals this year. It decided he wanted them to release him because he wanted to play. So he released from the Bengals, and now he's back in the XFL.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he felt like it was more important to have his kids watch him play than just be on an NFL team at his age.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So I remember to this day.
Brother.
what, KJ?
You don't like it, KJ?
Dude, so what you're telling me is you would rather be something that's inferior to the most dominant league in the entire world that's not FIFA, right? Like, it just blows my mind. I don't understand why would you want to be in a lower level. You're at a level where you're succeeding, and you're literally an injury away.
I guess he just wanted to play.
This is the thing, man, but you have to understand that after a while playing, and he's been playing for a while, and you get your money, and sometimes it's better to just go off and do something than just sit here and be a backup all day. Like, that gets annoying, too. You have all the money that you want. All right? A.J. McCarron's going to get taken care of. He ended up marrying, like, a supermodel as well in Alabama, right?
Dude, yes. Like, when I think of A.J. McCarron, I think of his career at Alabama.
Yeah.
But I think of him in the national championship game where the camera kept going to, and by the way, I'm looking at it right now, A.J. McCarron made $16 million in the NFL. So if he was smart with it, he's set for life.
Yeah.
But yes, it was Brent Musburger, the announcer, back in like 2012, 13, calling the national championship game, and they flashed to A.J. McCarron's wife, and I remember her name, Catherine Webb. She was just beautiful. I mean, just natural beauty. But Musburger couldn't focus on the game. He's like, oh my God. Like, it's like, Brent, relax.
And A.J. McCarron's over there right now, right? Has his money. They're still paying him almost $300,000 last time I talked.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, they're still paying him like what he would have made if he was on practice squad, which in the NFL, they want all these veterans on practice squad now. And he gets to play, and his kids are just loving it, right? His kids are there every single game, just loving that his dad's playing. He doesn't need the money anymore. He just wants to play. That's why he's doing it, KJ.
God.
Get off my man's back.
I just remember Catherine Webb in that national championship game. Goodness gracious. Okay, secret weapon. Secret weapon. Yeah. Do the Broncos have a secret weapon with the new kickoff rules? Here's what I'm talking about. The new kickoff rules are going to encourage people to return the football.
Yeah.
It used to be a dead play. Now it's not. Every single team in the XFL, every single one of them, had a return rate that was higher than the highest in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, like, you had teams in the NFL that were returning on average 0.5 kicks over the course of a game.
Yeah.
Even the highest in the league was lower than the lowest in the XFL. So we're going to see returns in a way that we haven't before. And it brings up Marvin Mims, who was a Pro Bowler this past year in that category. Mm. And I'm curious your opinion for a guy who's actually been out there for this setup. What kind of advantage could Marvin Mims have returning the football?
Yeah, Zach almost returned one game. Because it's just different, right? You're having the ability to catch the ball. The other defenders can't even start running until you catch the football.
Right.
So it gives you that advantage of, all right, secure the catch. Now you're running. Now the defenders are only 10 yards away from the other defenders, blockers,
yeah,
right?
Right, yep.
And so there's not going to be a lot of commotion, not a lot of people running down, missing blocks because you're right in front of you. And you don't have enough yards, enough field to build up speed. Now you have a returner back there that has at least 10, 15, 20 yards to build up speed, and you have someone like Marvin Mims. Or why do you think Cordell Patterson just got paid $6 million to be with the Steelers? Cordell Patterson didn't do anything this year, but he's been a great returner.
He has.
And he's a big body that runs fast. If you break that first line of defense, you might be out of there, right? Now it makes it a little harder because I thought the same thing. I'm like, okay, this could be easier to break for touchdowns, but it's not because the defenders also have lanes and they have angles on you, which is harder for you to break, you know, if you have faster people running after you. But man, it's pretty much like a play where you get to run the football.
So it feels like a running play.
Exactly. Because all of a sudden you can start scheming it up where you have two pullers and things like that, where all of a sudden you open up a big gap and you have someone like Cordell Patterson, Marvin Mims that have the speed, you're not catching them.
That's the thing. Like if they can find yes. wrinkles to try to break through that initial line with his speed,
yes.
I mean, he could be gonzo.
It's a play, Zach. You win a game. The chances of you winning that game go up 70% if you can get a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown.
Totally. Totally. Well, we'll see. I mean, even if he's not taking it to the house, I mean, what an opportunity to kickstart this offense with a guy like Marvin Mims exploiting this new kickoff. And I hope Sean Payton has the chops to coach it up, and they have a veteran special teams unit, yep, as well. So we'll see. We'll see how it looks this fall. But I'm really curious how this goes. It's just a one year trial run.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes here in the NFL this year and see how it works out for Marvin Mims and the Broncos. All right, Rockies manager Bud Black gave a telling quote about how he feels about team management if you listen close enough. And we'll do exactly that coming up next. Manager Bud Black was kind enough to come on our morning show with Mike and Mark, which is fantastic. Who is I feel like I know who this band is. Like, would I know their name? It sounds like a 90s
you
band.
Probably would. Yeah, it's definitely a 90s band.
God, any clues here, Phil? What do you got?
Google Doll.
Google, yes. Okay, there it is.
You heard of them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You never heard of Google Dolls?
I probably have heard songs, but I just don't, you know, yes. I just don't know them like that.
Yeah, they're a 90s band, and you're a puppy. You're a puppy.
A pit bull at that.
Bud Black was cool enough to join Mike and Mark, and he's got a relationship with Stink, and came on the day of the game, a day of the first game of the opener. All right, tonight, later tonight, by 8 o'clock, Kyle Freeland on the mound. And it was interesting, man. Bud, you got to listen close to this, okay? You got to listen close. This is Bud Black on if he feels supported by Rockies management. Listen to this.
I do, because I'm around these guys every day, and Dick is present, and nobody cares more about this organization and this franchise than Dick. And I know that Dick over the years has tried, year to year to, make commitments to players, to acquire players, to do things that he feels from his end he has to do to help us win. So I guess I can answer that just by the day-to-day, what I see and where their heart is.
Do you hear him kind of like getting through that question? Like,
he's trying to pull things out.
Yeah. He's present.
Yeah.
He cares. And I've tried to emphasize that to you.
Yeah, you have.
It's like Dick Monfort cares so much about this baseball team to a degree that's like maybe unhealthy, where it feels like sometimes it's a fan running the team. And I have sat next to Dick Monfort for a Rockies game, and that man has a straw in his mouth and he will chew it down to nothing with anxiety. And he's screaming at umpires like he is the biggest fan. I mean, yeah. And those are like his guys. He looks at all of them like they're my guys. Doesn't make you a good decision maker, though, unfortunately. But you listen from Bud. He's present. He cares. He feels from his end. And then the final sentence was his heart is in the right place type deal. That's not like a great answer with a good foundation to it.
Yeah, that's not a winning recipe right there. There's owners that you can sit here and say their hearts are not in the right place, but they make good decisions, right? They make business moves, business decisions that put them in the best situations to win. They get a little lucky,
yeah.
All right, and they put the money in the right places. That's where Dick Monfort's going wrong, I feel, is just putting the money in the wrong places at the wrong times.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not like there's this narrative out there that the Rockies don't spend money. It's just not true. It's just not true.
I thought so until you brought it up.
They're middle of the pack payroll-wise.
Yeah.
They just spend it in all the wrong places. Sorry. It's like you're hosting a dinner party, and you go to the store, and you come back with toothpicks, some Listerine, a honey ham, and some salt and pepper. It's like, dude, this is not a meal. This is kind of random. And that's kind of where we're at with the Rocky spending. Here's a little bit more from Bud Black, who first game is a little bit later today. Bud Black on the offense as opposed to the pitching staff.
The position player group, if we keep these guys together and on the field, I think, that could be our strength. I think we're going to play really good defense. We showed that last year. And we have multiple gold glove type players. And offensively, Bryant, Rogers, Blackman, McMahon, Jones, Tovar, this is a group that offensively should do more than what we did last year. We were banged up for sure. But if we can keep this group on the field for the majority of the season, the offense, I think, will be way more potent than what it's been the last couple of years. The question will be, as you guys know, pitching is so important. Our starting rotation has to stay intact. They're not, maybe not high-end number one type pitchers, but they compete. And we need our bullpen to step up and close games that we expect to win.
They may not be high-end pitchers, but they compete.
That's not good. That's not what I want to hear.
No, it's not. And Kyle's the best pitcher that they have right now, anyway, on paper. Yeah. And there's some injuries for sure in that department with Antonio Sensatella will be coming back in the middle of the season. It was Germán Márquez had Tommy John last year. So we'll see what it looks like. But Kyle's the number one, and I'm a huge fan of Kyle. I know you're a huge fan of Kyle.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, just, you know, and we'll see what kind of season Kyle has. I mean, maybe
he needs to have a bounce back season.
Yeah.
That's what he needs. He's kind of in the crossroads of, if he doesn't get his act together, things can kind of go spiral in a downhill situation for Kyle, because I think people are kind of getting antsy with what he has to offer, because he has had some great moments, but he's also had some moments of like, what's going on, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. and so, like, again, we're huge fans, but just to take the kid gloves off, Kyle is, if for a team that's competing, yep, Kyle's not your number one.
For sure.
And he's not your number two, and he's probably not your number three. Mm. It's kind of like how we talk about, like, the Nuggets of, like, you know, Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr.,
yeah,
they're where they should be on teams that are trying to win. If they tried to step up two spots in a role, you're in big trouble. And so we'll see. We'll see how much of trouble the Rockies are in this year. CBS Sports actually predicts that the Rockies will set a Major League Baseball record by using the most pitchers in a single season ever. Current record is 42 pitchers used by the 2022 Cubs. We'll see. But we have good news, Phil. We have a TV deal in place that did happen. That did happen.
And when did it happen?
In the middle of the night.
When everybody was asleep.
Isn't that fun?
Dreaming.
Isn't that so Rockies? Like, you can just, like, schedule this news for 6 a.m. Like, no, 12:30, we're putting it out there. But it is good news. The Rockies say that you can watch now on Comcast and Xfinity, all right, channel 1262. If you have Fubo, and that's how you watch the Nuggets and the Avs, you got it there, too. And it's on DirecTV and Spectrum as well. The place where it's not is the Dish Network.
Mm.
So they did Troy was right, and others were right that they'll figure out a way to get it done before first pitch. But now I feel bad for people who actually bought Rockies TV for $99.99.
I was going to ask you, so what was that? Because you went on a rant talking about how you're just going to go buy this. So how are you going to get your money back, Zach?
I did not buy it.
Oh, you were a liar.
I said I was going to.
You went on the air. You were telling everybody how, why not? Why not? Zach, buy. Why not? I'm going to spend the $99.
You are not being truthful.
I'm putting the Mike Evans on him.
But I did say if they didn't figure this out, I was going to buy it. I was going to buy it. Call me a sucker if you want.
Yeah.
But at least it's still an option for the people that don't have those services. They don't have Xfinity. They don't have DirecTV.
Yeah.
They still have the option, like, hey, now it's like a standalone thing. Go buy Rockies.tv. You can still watch the Rockies games if you want to.
Mm.
All right, quick question. So Dick Monfort did an interview, and he said, quote, my biggest problem is I hate losing, and it's hard to debate anyone when you're losing. So the best way to quiet them down is to win, and win all the time. And that's what we need to do. I do feel like we are on the right track, end quote, which we could be hysterically laughing at this in like 2 months.
Yeah.
But my question is, on our way out of here, how much winning do the Rockies have to do to silence the critics? What do you guys think? How much, like, if they finished the
160,
season.
160, right? 162 games.
162 games. Like, if they finished the season 10 games below 500, would that be quieting critics, which is a funny sentence unto itself, but
based on losing 103 games last year, that'd be a heck of a significant step, honestly, because at least it shows you that they're going in the right direction. Like, so if they come back out this year and they lose, or they win, you know, 58 games or whatever the case is, and you're like, well, here we go. Like, they didn't really do much in the offseason. It doesn't look like these young guys are developing. But if they go out and win 75 games, I'd say, yeah, that's pretty good, because now we're going places, maybe.
KJ?
You got to start building somewhere. So that's where I'm at with the Rockies. Like, this this pathetic product that we've been looking at here for the last few seasons has got to stop. It has to stop, and it has to start now.
All right.
You kind of got freaky there, man. I'm over here whispering in my ear.
I'm going to share something with you guys right here. I know we got to go, but I have bet the Rockies season over.
Oh.
I have bet the Rockies season over head-to-head with my buddy Bearcat Jim. And so they have to win 60 games. The number is 59.5.
Okay.
And there's $200 on the line. So you're looking at your boy here. Go Rockies. Go Rockies.
We'll see how.
Let's go, bud.
We'll see how it ages. We'll see. All right, it's a busy day of divide and conquer for the Denver Broncos, and we'll tell you exactly why coming up next. You want to know what? I think I'm going to buy this. I think I'm going to do it. It's a busy day of dividing and conquering for the Denver Broncos. We have multiple pro days happening at one time. You have Drake May in North Carolina having his anticipated pro day. But you also have Michael Penix Jr. out there in Seattle at the University of Washington. Now, from what we are hearing, all right, the Broncos are attending both. And they're just sort of dividing their personnel. From what it looks like, more people are at Drake May's pro day at North Carolina. George Payton is there. Assistant general manager Darren Moogie is there. Is it Moogie or Moogie? Do we know? Did we ever figure that out? Moogie? Moogie? Anyway, assistant GM is there. Offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi is also at Drake May's pro day, as is quarterback coach Davis Webb, in addition to senior assistant Pete Carmichael. So quite a load of folks there from the Broncos in North Carolina. And in Washington, it looks like passing game coordinator John Morton is there. College director and two scouts are also representing the Broncos in Washington. So much more people at Drake May's pro day than Michael Penix Jr. Do you read anything into that in one way or another?
Yeah, I mean, it does speak volume that they want to go and watch Drake May's combine or pro day to see what he has to offer. But in today's sports world, when it comes to the NFL, you can just go on a visit or you can have an individual workout with that player. So I wouldn't put too much into that because I guarantee at some point we're going to be hearing, hey, the Broncos are having an intimate workout with Michael Penix Jr. to see what he's going to do, which I would rather have those than the pro day because pro days are so watered down and it's a lot of hype, especially in the quarterback position. I mean, Zach, there's a time where you just run around for like 4 or 5 seconds and throw as far as you can. Like, what are we doing? How many times in a game are we going to do that?
Never.
A Hail Mary at the end of a game if you're losing. Yeah. So I think it's watered down and it's cool to do, but I wouldn't put too much into it.
No, and I don't know how much I would put into any workout in shorts and a T-shirt, but I think more attention should be made to the individual workouts because the pro days, they are so schemed up by the player and programs themselves. Yeah. It's cookie cutter. It's whatever, like, however you want it to be. That's how you design it. And these individual workouts, as Sean Payton talked about last week with J.J. McCarthy, he's like, we threw a bunch at him, so much so that it'd be impossible for him to get through it all in the amount of time before we started the next morning.
Yeah.
And we did that on purpose. We want to see where his breaking point is.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think you learn more doing it that way.
Well, why do you think a lot of these quarterbacks don't throw at the combine, but then they throw at a pro day? Because they're comfortable. Their receivers that they've played with are going to be there.
Yeah.
Okay, they have routes that they've been working on a little bit more. It gives them a little bit more time to get down a plan. That's why I like my pro day because I was able to pick Sefolu'afau as my quarterback, who I played 5 years with, okay? Had 2 weeks to come up with a plan of routes that the scouts wanted to see from me, and I go out there and execute it, but I feel comfortable in my home, right? Colorado is my home, and that's where I played a lot of my games, so I'm used to being in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so, like, I did well doing that. So, yeah, I think having these individual workouts are going to be more beneficial of seeing where a quarterback is, giving them something that they don't prepare for, and then you'll see a lot more out of that quarterback of, like, okay, I want to see some bad parts, not just good.
Yeah.
I want to see how you react to certain things when things don't go right.
Do you think they'll do private workouts with every first-round eligible quarterback?
If they're able to, I don't know. I don't know necessarily the rules to that. But if they're able to, why would you not?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I was thinking about honestly, Michael Penix Jr. when I asked the question.
Yeah.
Will they meet with Michael Penix Jr. and have we glossed over that name too quickly? Because I feel like when we talk about the Broncos' interest, it's been about Bo Nix.
Yeah.
It's been about J.J. McCarthy.
Well, we got off that train so fast. Like after one game, everybody just jumped ship and was like, oh, J.J. McCarthy's just the greatest thing. And it's like, okay, y'all, like, you guys are listening too much to too many different people, right? We don't know what Sean's thinking. Everybody thinks they know what Sean's thinking.
Yeah.
But we really don't. Nobody knew that Sean was going out there to try to get Patrick Mahomes. Nobody knew that. Maybe some people in New Orleans did, or I know the staff probably did, but nobody knew. So we don't know what Sean Payton's really thinking. Everybody thinks this is J.J. McCarthy. It's a lot of smoke out there, right? And it's like, why would he show his hands so fast when you got a month left?
Right.
A month left, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, all right, maybe it's something different. Maybe it is a Michael Penix Jr. I've said that for the longest, that I think Sean likes Michael Penix Jr.
And why do you think that?
I think that he's a rhythm quarterback. Okay, he processes things. He's thrown a lot.
Yeah.
He stays in the pocket.
Yeah, he really does.
You know, he's a prototypical kind of quarterback. He's tall. And guess what? Today at his pro day, he still ran a 4.4. Zach, it's hard to run a 4.4.
Wait,
40.
Michael Penix Jr. Ran a 4.4?
Yes, Michael Penix Jr. ran a 4.4.
I got to tell you, I haven't seen Michael Penix move like that because he prefers to stay in the pocket.
Yeah.
Now, he maneuvers within the pocket like fantastically. That was one of his best attributes, I thought, this past year. Interesting.
So he might have made him some money, and I know everybody's like, oh, that's crazy. But in today's game, Zach, we've talked about it. You got to be able to move and run. These players, these linemen, are running 4.6s and 4.5s. If you can't run and get past the offensive line or defensive lineman, it's going to be a long day.
Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting as we gather all these clues ahead of next month's draft. And I say next month, Phil, shoot. Next month is going to be here on Monday. So, like, when we're going to finish up tomorrow, finish up the week strong, I hope, and then come back in here on Monday. It's going to be April.
Mm.
Like, here we go. Okay, we have a heavyweight fight tonight on the ice with something on the line. Let me tell you what it is next. Have a heavyweight fight tonight on the ice. Is it a potential Stanley Cup preview? Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Maybe. Want to talk about that here in just a second. But first, guys, you do not have a lot of time left if you're listening live. All right, if you have a busted bracket, don't worry. Sport Clips is presenting the Denver Sports second chance bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the daddy of them all in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before tip off on the games today. And that's going to be here really in just a few minutes. We're going to have maybe 20 minutes from now, tip off between Arizona and Clemson on CBS. And then not long after that, we're tipping off between San Diego State and UConn. That is a rematch of last year's national championship on TBS. And then later this evening, it's the Alabama Crimson Tide against North Carolina on CBS, and then to close out the evening, it's Illinois against Iowa State. Should be a fun slate of games. Again, if you want to get involved in that second chance bracket, head to denversports.com/hoops. Okay, Phil, we have a heavyweight fight tonight on the ice. Something is potentially on the line. Whether you want that thing on the line or not, that's for each fan to decide, because the battle between the Rangers and the Avs tonight at Ball Arena in a few hours, it's a race for the President's Trophy, which, of course, goes since going back to the mid-80s, goes to the best regular season record in the NHL, and the Avs trail the Rangers by 3 points for that top spot. We talked about this last week. Some fans don't care for the President's Trophy because it has an unfriendly history.
Bad juju.
As it relates to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Where are you at on that topic today?
I mean, you know I'm superstitious and have my theories. But how the Colorado Avalanche are playing at this point in the season and what they have done since they've brought in more depth and talent, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just go out there, win, and then play well in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's how I take it.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans feel that way. Just go compete and let the chips fall where they may. You know, I kind of go back and forth by the day, if I'm being totally honest with you. Look, if you're going to play, you might as well win.
You play to win.
Right? You're not shutting guys down. That's not what's happening. And by the way, the Avs have won the President's Trophy and won the Stanley Cup in the same season as well. So we'll see what we're in store for in that regard. But that totally aside, the Rangers are a collection of bad boys, Phil. They're the first team in the NHL to clinch a playoff spot, first team to reach 100 points. They're 8-2-0 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. They're top 10 in goals scored. They're top 10 in goals allowed. And they have some of the league's best special teams, top 5 in power play, top 5 in penalty kill. This is as complete of a team as we'll see this season.
And a really good goalie. A really, really good goalie.
Fantastic, yeah.
So, yeah, like this, you just listed. I thought we were going against a machine.
Yeah.
You know, top 5, top 3, top 2.
Just relaying the facts. You know?
But the facts are the facts, and the facts is the Colorado Avalanche are up there too.
Sure, absolutely.
And the Colorado Avalanche are packing some heat in their back pocket. Now, Val's not going to be there.
Right.
You know, which, I mean, Val has been quiet for the last five games?
I think it's like five without a goal, or maybe one in the last five, something like that.
Yeah, so like something's been up. So I'd rather him get healthy, you know. Anyway, I think Mittelstadt's going to take his place in the top line. Am I correct, Drew, on that?
Oh, I can't hear you.
Mittelstadt taking Val's place in the top line?
Well, no, not on the top line, or well, maybe on the power first power play.
On the first power play, yes.
So okay. I want to see that. I want to see how that goes with Casey Mittelstadt, because he's been kind of quiet as well.
I agree. And Sean Walker, another newcomer, we're talking about Mittelstadt, Sean Walker needs a bounce back after how things ended the other night against Montreal.
Yeah.
Took a double minor, high-sticking, you know, with like 4 or 5 minutes left when you're trying to just go all in to tie the game at 2 and go to overtime. Yeah. That was certainly not great timing there from Sean Walker. See if he can bounce back. And then what else? I mean, what else are we looking for tonight? I mean, Nathan McKinnon's point streak.
That has to be on everybody's radar. I'm going to predict that it's going to happen pretty fast again, Zach.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he's going to either assist or he's going to get a goal pretty fast here. I just have a good feeling about that. And I've been pretty on with my feelings.
Well, yeah. I mean, yesterday you did not have a good feeling about the Suns game.
I didn't.
And I was on the complete opposite. I felt great about it. Now, in defense of myself, didn't know Jamal Murray wasn't going to play.
I told you
when we were on the air.
I said Jamal's not going to play. I said Aaron Gordon's not going to play. He ended up playing.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought, I assumed that hey, after a week off, but yeah, Jamal, and we'll circle back to the Nugs here in a second. Yeah. But yeah, you were on that. And then last week you predicted Michael Porter Jr. to go crazy. He ended up going 31 points. Tonight, how you feeling?
I feel good.
About the game just in general?
I feel good about the game. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be up for this one. They lost against Montreal. All right, everybody kind of took that and thought it was going to be an easy win. That wasn't the case. I think everybody's up for this one. We are without Val, but I think as a collective group, I think McKinnon's going to come to play. He's going to have a fantastic game, and we're going to win it.
All right, you referenced the goalie between the pipes there for the blue shirts, Igor Shesterkin.
Igor.
And this was the guy who played in front of Georgiev.
Mm.
Georgie was with the Rangers, second round pick, made the trade. Georgie's now the number one here in Colorado. But, and by the way, he was not at a morning skate, right?
He was not.
But he is playing.
He is playing tonight, according to Jared Bednar, who talked after practice. He said he is playing. So it may have been a thing where there's been a little bit of a sickness going around the locker room. May have that, but it sounds like he's going to be okay, and it's going to be Georgiev versus Shesterkin this evening.
Yeah, well, but you got to think, like, That's like chip on the shoulder night for Georgie.
Now, does Igor have a nickname?
I think it's just Igor.
Okay.
I think it's just Igor,
Everybody seems to have a nickname.
Yeah.
Well, they have for the Rangers, they got the bread man.
Yeah. Jimmy Panarin.
Yeah, Panarin.
I like that name.
The bread man. He finished top five in MVP? I mean, after McKinnon and Kucherov and Matthews and McDavid, would he be next?
He's got to be next. Yeah, he just went over 100 points for the first time in his career.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say he's probably going to finish fourth, maybe at the highest, probably fifth, depending on kind of Austin Matthews if he ends up getting to 70 goals, which he's looking like he's starting to kind of tail off that a little bit, but it's probably going to go McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, and then maybe Artemi Panarin, Pastrnak.
Kucherov? You didn't say Kucherov.
I did forget Kucherov. I'm sorry. Kucherov's going to finish second.
Yeah. But it's looking like academic. Unless Nate totally disappears here in the last handful of games, we're going to have double MVPs here in Denver.
Look at Drew. Drew just said McKinnon, like, so easy. Like, ooh.
Well, hey.
Yeah, McKinnon, I like it.
He's minus 250, I think, the last time I looked.
Yeah.
The MVP. So
it's wild.
You said minus 250?
Minus 250.
I mean, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
and if that goes down, and we've been talking about this for a month and a half now, but if that goes down, the city of Denver will be the second city ever to have the MVP on the NHL side with the Hart Trophy and the MVP on the basketball side with Nikola Jokic. So it's only happened one other time with Wayne Gretzky for the Kings.
We're getting there. We're getting so close.
Yep. Magic Johnson for the Lakers. That's the only precedent. So we want titles, no doubt, but that would be like if titles are the cake, man, sprinkles are the MVPs on top of that cake, and man, what a cool time to be doing this job in Denver, Colorado. Really, really cool. Really cool.
I can't wait, man.
All right, we'll see how it all shakes out. Tonight, puck dropping, Ball Arena. We'll see.